This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Alrighty, 12:14 on KPQ's Agenda, and we are going to revisit two conversations on the important tax issues on your ballot in Chelan and Douglas County. Proposition 1 for Link, which requests the first tax increase for Link in, 30 years, roughly. And also the request to renew the sales tax, which helps fund Rivercom. Conversation from just last week, Kevin Rounce handled that with Jim Fossey, who is a former Rivercom executive director. So if you haven't cast your ballot, you got about a week to do so. If you're not registered to vote, you actually can still do that right up to election day with the new law that's in effect. But in any event, if you haven't cast your vote yet, still hanging on your ballot, or if you've not registered to vote, you still do that and give your decisions on these two important tax matters in Chelan and Douglas County. So let's get the conversation rolling again with Jim Fossey, who was with Jim Fossey, former Rivercom executive director, to discuss renewing the Rivercom tax. We revisit that conversation from last week on The Agenda.
And in case you haven't had a chance to open your ballots in the last week or so since you've had them, there is a ballot measure asking you to essentially reapprove the 1% or 0.1% sales tax initiative that was approved about 5 years ago.
It was 10 years.
Ten years ago. Was that under your watch?
It was not. It was the previous director that had that, and I retired before this current initiative.
We'll get into depth about what this is, and Jim's able to kind of advocate for this. But one of the nice things is this is, Jim, a sales tax we're already paying.
That's correct. It's 0.1%. That's 10 cents on every $100 spent. And the ballot measure is required to pass by a majority vote in both Chelan and Douglas counties. And if it fails in one, it fails all the way across the board.
Oh, wow. So if Chelan could vote it in 80-20, but if Douglas County, says no, 51-49, that's it.
That's correct.
Wow. These multi-county measures are a little more complicated.
Yes, it is. last time, 10 years ago, it did pass with a strong vote from both Chelan and Douglas County, and we would ask for people's vote again in favor of this.
So why don't we remind folks, I think there's been a lot of talk about what this does, but let's remind people in case they haven't heard what this initiative or what this 0.1% sales tax pays for.
Well, Rivercom, during the last 10 years, primarily used it to upgrade the existing radio system. So Rivercom, when it began, inherited radio sites, inherited radio frequencies and channels. And a lot of those were kind of cobbled together. We had one site way up by Chelan that actually looked like a lunar lander. It was in a box up on a mountaintop, and it had a wooden pole for an antenna, and it was just in bad repair. We were able to, with the money from the communications tax, renew that facility, make it a hardened facility, so there's a generator there. There's solar panels there. The radios are state-of-the-art current technology. And so it made it much more reliable for communications up in that area.
Why is that important? I mean, obviously, yes, life-saving needs are there. But I guess more I'm thinking of how would it be different than, suppose, let's say, the Seattle 911 call center?
Well, here we have such a diverse geographic area, and the radio system obviously is the critical link, and that's no different between here and Seattle. You have to have a means of communication between the dispatch center and those units that are responding. That's how we let them know what's going on and what they need to respond to. So getting that radio signal out into those the many, many areas that we cover or that Rivercom covers is a critical element. Up in Douglas County on the Waterville Plateau, very flat, it's relatively easy. Put up a couple of towers and you've got pretty good coverage. Then on the breaks of the Columbia River and going up the Wenatchee River, it's a whole different ballgame. So a lot of infrastructure is required for that, and it's a critical piece for our responders and ultimately for the public.
And I'd imagine it could be really challenging to set those things up. You know, if you want to, you know, if there's something going on in Entiat, you need to have a system that can get you to Entiat or Chelan or up into Waterville or some of the places that are not even like towns. There's a lot of people, whether they're on a farm or they just kind of want to live somewhat off the grid, they just live in a little more remote location.
Well, and we have a number of search and rescue efforts that are in very remote places, and the responders have to be able to communicate with one another and with Rivercom, even out there, even if it's only once a year.
Yeah, because that one time, you want to make sure that nobody has to lose a loved one while they're out here. Now, I find it interesting a little bit because it's in our little notes here. It talks about the fact that when Rivercom was first organized, I don't know when that was. I don't know. That provided detail hasn't been provided.
2004.
Okay, so about 15 years ago. There wasn't really a funding mechanism established.
There was not. And so, like I said, a lot of the things that Rivercom inherited were cobbled together. Literally, Rivercom purchased parts and pieces off of eBay or Craigslist or similar type services because they could not afford the current technology that was available at that time. And so they made it work. There are some individuals who worked and did amazing things with radios and telephones from when Rivercom initially started.
Yeah, I can't. All right, we have our 911 system we're building. We're going to go to eBay. How did it work before, I guess?
Well, obviously, before Rivercom started, there were numerous 911 centers in the Chelan and Douglas County area. And so the idea was to consolidate all of those into one place. When that happened, those centers essentially gave their equipment to Rivercom, which was old and outdated at the time. And so Rivercom made all those things work. But you can imagine as time goes on, those parts, pieces wear out, or the company that built them stops supporting them in an effort to get you to buy new equipment.
Do we know, so this is 0.1% sales tax, so that's about 10 cents for every $100 that you spend. We have an estimate per person, per household, kind of, over the cost of over a year?
I don't have an idea. And part of that is because it's also driven by people that come into the community.
True.
And we watch that income stream fluctuate. For instance, December has a higher sales rate because Leavenworth has their
tree
lighting festival. It goes up in October, February, and March. It's down because we don't have as much tourism during that time.
And that Chelan probably is big in the summer.
Absolutely.
Spring break time, yeah. And that's one of the things I think is really, I can't remember who I was talking to, but I was talking to somebody and they said, well, we need to understand that the reason that we do it as the sales tax route as opposed to any sort of like property tax or something like that is that the sales tax allows the people who are tourists who also use 911
that's right.
to help pay for it.
Yes, indeed. And when you call 911, it doesn't matter where your telephone is registered. If you are in Rivercom's area and you came from Florida or you came from Minnesota, it's going to ring at Rivercom and you're going to get the help that a citizen who lives here full time gets.
Talking with Jim Fossey, the former director of Rivercom, about the initiative that is currently on your ballots. It could be on your kitchen table, the dining room table, hopefully not the waste bin, or maybe you've already sent it back, but they're asking for a renewal of the 0.1% sales tax. And I kind of am interested to see, because this was voted on 10 years ago, but at the time it wasn't in perpetuity. Do we know kind of the rationale behind it, why it isn't going to be in a situation to sunset?
I think it was just the idea at the time that they didn't know how this would work out, what the results of the funding would be for Rivercom. And they also wanted to make sure that Rivercom would be good stewards of that money. And so they put a sunset on that. It's interesting, Misty V. Brock, the current executive director at Rivercom, has looked at other counties that have enacted the emergency communications tax. And I believe there's only one or two other counties in the state that ever put a sunset clause on that.
Is this one include a sunset, or if this goes in, this one is in?
This does not include a sunset. Okay. That is the difference between 10 years ago and today. This does not include a sunset on it.
Is this enough to keep up with the modern times, do you think? If we put in the 0.1 cent, and I guess this is probably a foolish question because nobody knows the future, but if we put in 0.1%, are we able to maintain and keep up with the technology of the day for quite a while?
Well, certainly we are now. That would be the good news. It is interesting that there is also a tax on your cell phones, and that tax has stayed pretty much flat for the last 7 to 8 years at about $1 million a year. That was intended to fund and support 911 in the various counties of Washington State, but that tax only covers about 15 to 20% of Rivercom's budget. So it really does not adequately cover what's needed for 911.
Now, do they cover different things? Because Rivercom's going to have, obviously, all the same things that every business has. There's going to be capital expenses they need. There's going to be personnel expenses that they need, and some other things like that. Does this tax pay for just one portion of that? Like, does it cover just the capital expenses? Or
no, it can cover maintenance. It can cover buildings. It can cover personnel. It can cover training. It can cover kind of the broad spectrum of what's needed.
Okay, so as the money comes in, it's like, okay, our capital budget's a little short, we can go there, or we want to hire more operators, dispatch operators, we can put that in there as well.
Yes, and 10 years ago, that was not the case. That was not what Rivercom presented. And the worry was that if we use the money for personnel costs, that the state might cut back the funding to Rivercom that would cover personnel costs. Now, that did not happen, that the state cut back because we might or might not use it for personnel costs, but the state did cut back funding to Rivercom over that course of 8 to 10 years. Not out of spite or anything else, they just had priorities they also had to fund with the money that was available for them.
Yeah, everybody's looking for their dollar.
Absolutely.
So this is a 0.1% sales tax. Just to reiterate or clarify, this is not a news tax. On Monday, we talked with the folks from Link Transit, and I wanted to make sure they had their say, but that is a new tax. This is one that already exists.
You pay this right now. It's in force and has been in force for the last 10 years.
And one of the reasons it's a sales tax is that it allows people who are not from the area, we all pay it, but we all also use the services.
That's correct.
Anything else? We got about a minute or two left here that we want to make sure that people know about this particular initiative.
Well, the thing I would say is nobody likes a new tax. I don't like a new tax. This isn't new. It's a tax that you've been paying, and it's a critical piece. It's a critical funding mechanism for Rivercom, which is the 911 center for the two-county area. And without it, that cost probably would be passed on to the users of Rivercom. And by the users, I mean the law enforcement, fire, and medical services, who would then have to pay more for that service. And their services are covered by property taxes. So they would not be able to spend money where they need to spend it in order for them to support Rivercom. So it really is a critical piece. We're not part of law enforcement. We're not part of fire or EMS. We provide a service to them, and that service is covered by this 0.1%, as well as your E911 tax on your cell phones and landline phones.
So, yeah, so if this doesn't pass, and you're advocating for it, I'm just here asking questions, but just so we can clear it, if this doesn't pass, that means the Chelan County Sheriff's Office, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, the fire districts, all of them are going to have to take some of the money they already have allocated for something else, and they're going to have to use it to help you guys out.
Yes, and of course, if it did not pass, Rivercom also would be forced to make cuts and look for savings, but we're talking about 44% of the budget. That is a huge piece of the budget. So it is such a critical piece, and people just need to understand that this is not for whimsical kind of things. This is for critical infrastructure to receive a 911 call and then get the help that people need the right place at the right time.
Well, Jim, thanks so much for your service with Rivercom. I appreciated it. We were able to talk a couple of times on news stories, and I know obviously you wanted to make that place work great, and I'm sure many lives were saved under your watch, and many lives will be saved under Misty's watch as well.
Absolutely. And again, please vote yes. We need your vote. We need your support. And if you have any questions, I know that Misty Vibrock is willing to answer those questions personally. Her desk phone number is 662-4651. She's happy to take your call and answer any question that you might have.
Jim, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And revisiting the first of two important issues on the August 6th primary, and that is a renewal of the Rivercom 911 tax. Also, Proposition 1 for Link as they hope to expand services with Proposition 1. We're going to have that conversation from late June with Richard Duroc, the general manager. He is on the program next to talk about what that tax would fund in terms of expanded services. That's straight ahead on the agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Two very important funding issues on your August 6th primary ballot here in the Chelan-Douglas County area. We just heard the discussion on Rivercom funding through a sales tax renewal. Meanwhile, Link Proposition 1, the discussion with Richard Duroc, the general manager from a few weeks ago, as he explains Proposition 1, what it would fund, how the decision to approach voters came about, and what service improvements would be funded with that measure. So here's that conversation with Kevin Rounce on an earlier edition of The Agenda.
Coming in now, opportunity to talk with Richard Duroc, the director of Link Transit, and talk about some things that are happening for them, including their Vision 2020 program. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon.
First off, you guys have a big request of the public, and we've talked about it a little bit on KPQ in the past, but let's remind folks of what you're asking and why you're asking it.
Sure. Well, our board has put a sales tax proposal on the ballot for the August 6th primary election. And what this would do, it would raise the local sales tax by 0.2 cents to fund a approximately 40% expansion of Link services. Primarily, the money would go to fund Sunday services, improve Saturday services, increase the frequency a lot on Saturday, extend the hours, weekdays till 11 o'clock, roughly maybe midnight, depending on the route. Started about a couple hours early in the morning. And the entire intent behind this is to meet the needs of people who work in our service industries, our tourist-related industries, in the agricultural processing facilities. Our service, because it really is Monday through Friday, for the most part, and really only serves 8 to 5 work shifts, misses a whole lot of our community in terms of what's out there. And when we surveyed our community and asked them what they wanted to see for the future, this is really what came to the top of the list. And the citizens approved a 0.4 cents sales tax to start the operation of the system in those days. This would be the first time we've ever gone back to the ballot. And what this would actually do is take our funding back to a level that's about what it was when we used to get a state match. And so that would allow us to operate a seven-day-a-week service.
So once every 30 years, I think that's fair.
Well,
maybe.
Maybe. It's what ends up being necessary for the situation. And the way I described it to the board is we're stable for the system we have now. We can operate the service we have today with the revenue we have. We're fine looking probably the next 15 years out. But if we want to grow and have the system reflect the growth in our community, our system is about 90% as large as it was back when it started in the mid-90s. We had cut a lot right after in 2000 when we lost our state match funding. But our community's grown 36% since then, and our system hasn't. So we don't provide as much relevance to the community as we used to do, or what the changing economy in our community really sort of desires now. And so that was the question we put out to the board and to the public is it time for Link to do more to serve the needs of our community? And if it is, then here's a way to do that.
How did you get to the determination of 0.2%?
It came straight from what the public told us. We went out and surveyed in 2016. We surveyed the community and said, what would you like to see Link do in the future? What's important? And we got a very long list of proposals. We took that, worked through it, figured out what was actually technically possible to do, and people were asking for service to Seattle. We can't legally do those things. So we took that list, narrowed it down to what is actually within our authority under state law or is practical in our area, and figured out what the costs were. We then went back and sent a survey to every single household in our service area, showing out what people had asked for, what they said they wanted, and what each thing cost, and what it would mean to individually if you were to pick those services. And it was a computerized version which allowed you to pick services that you thought were important. It showed you what the impact on sales tax was. And out of that process, we winnowed that list down dramatically to a list of the 30 projects that we have going forward in terms of expanded hours, new park and ride lots that were in the proposal based on what people told us they were willing to support. And 0.2 is where that landed. It's what, when they, the amount of service they picked came to that level. I mean, there were people that actually wanted to go more, but the support fell down to a level that wasn't something that clearly the community wasn't going to support, a 0.3 or 0.4 level. They, you know, that was options in the survey, but they didn't do that. They supported a 0.2 level.
As we, you know, the ballots go out in about a month or a little less than a month, I think, at this point. What have you heard from the community? Because we've known about sort of the Link request. What have you heard from the community after that sort of became official? We're doing this.
A lot of people ask the question. I mean, pretty fundamentally, why would you want to do this? People who don't know much about us will say, well, the buses always seem to be empty, so why would you want to put more out there? And we've shared a lot of information. So our buses aren't empty. We average 13 passengers an hour in service. So every hour the bus is on the road, we average 13. Now our very rural routes don't carry 13 people an hour. I've got some that are in the 4 and 5 passenger an hour range. And then I have our route that runs between Columbia Station and the East Wenatchee Mall that's running almost 30 passengers an hour. But on average, we average about 13. Doesn't mean the bus may not be empty when you drive past it. It's entirely possible. Buses pick up and drop people off, and so at times it may be there. And so at a base level, our system is actually pretty efficient. For a rural area that has got a really broad service area, our service area is the largest in the state. When you add up rural areas into it, you can't expect them to operate at really high levels. Other question is, why can't you just raise fares? Well, that isn't how transit works in the United States. No one covers their costs through the fare box. We are on the low end, but we're in the average of what fares collect in rural areas. We're about 7% of our regular bus costs are covered by fares. About 4% of the total cost of the operation is covered by fares. And that may seem really low, but that is what it is in rural areas. King County Metro is running about 23% of their costs are covered by fares, and that's the 12th largest system in the country and has a lot more service out there. And you can see we just don't cover our costs with fares in public transportation. And so this really is a question of values to the community. Is this something that we think meeting the needs of people that don't have choices, the low-income community that can access more jobs, and the employer community that is looking for employees, you know, Leavenworth, Chelan, or housing issues. Transit has a way to help on those things and is a 2/10 sales tax, which actually would work out to being cost per the average taxpayer in Chelan Douglas County at about $24 a year.
Is it? I'd imagine with folks who maybe are looking for a job and the job they can find is in Chelan or Leavenworth, but they can't afford to live there. But the places they can't afford to live means they've got to have an alternative option to transportation, whether they don't have reliable transportation or they would need that option. Is that that provides an invaluable service to somebody who's in a situation where they have to live maybe in Entiat or somewhere around or someplace where maybe they can't afford, you know, they can't afford to live in Leavenworth because it's just too expensive. But they need to be able to get there.
And that's one of the big messages we heard was more than half of the people who responded to our surveys were people who are not riders. And they were saying, we're not riders because we can't use the system because you don't go where we need to or at times we need to go. And that's really what this measure is about. It would 100% of the money that we would generate would go to fund new services. We're not going to use any of the money that would come out of this to fund our existing operations. We've got that covered. This is to fund Sunday service, it's to fund later hours, it's to increase frequencies on the major routes so they're more convenient, and it's really aimed at the economic value in our community. We do a good job for people who don't have choices today. What we don't do is meet those second and third shift needs that we have a lot in our community, and we don't meet the needs of our tourist community because we don't operate on Sundays and have much less service on Saturdays. And that's a really growing part of our economy, and that's where we need to be focusing, as well as service to some of the areas that we don't cover. Like I said, we've had a 35% increase in population over the last 20 years in our area, and our routes really haven't changed to adapt to that. We don't serve Fancher Heights. We don't serve up to the airport area. We don't serve up in the foothills. And maybe those areas don't deserve a full-size transit bus. The densities are low, and ridership probably wouldn't be huge, but there are people that need to go to those locations. There are lots of jobs now out by the airport. It's probably time for us to be putting more service into those areas to meet those broader needs that our community has.
And they're building data centers out there right now, too, which
exactly
and so huge staffing, but...
But enough that particularly like a vanpool or carpool program that we may be able to support can be a way to make some of those things happen. We're experimenting with some demand-responsive modes, which can use smaller vehicles and still meet people's needs. We're not looking to put full-size buses every place. We don't realize that's not the answer for our community. But providing access so that employers can find employees, which is a huge issue, that we can address the housing imbalance we have in our valley, is really what this is aimed at. It provides more options for people. And what we're asking for, while it would be a significant increase, 40% increase in service, it is sort of scaled to what the community told us they were interested in.
News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:46. Talking with Richard DeRock, director of Link Transit. I'm Kevin Round, sitting in for Dave Bernstein. Well, when we come back, we'll finish up our conversation with Mr. DeRock.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
So revisiting the two important issues on your ballot, if you've not cast a ballot to decide on the Rivercom tax renewal or the Proposition 1 tax request to fund improvements to link a transit service in the Chelan-Douglas service area, we continue the conversation Kevin Rounce had with Richard DeRock, the general manager of Link, just a couple of weeks ago. 12:48 now on the agenda.
And we've got a couple of other things going on. We obviously, the big thing is going to be the tax initiative in August, and we'll continue to talk to you about that, sure, particularly after the results come in the second week of August. But you also have some new service adjustment.
Sure. So we have a couple of new services. We have restructuring of our Leavenworth service. We have a new park and ride, opening that up to the public, that we got some state funds to build. And that was designed to make our regular service to Leavenworth more reliable, because with the festival's issues, we were getting caught in traffic. And so what we're doing is our regular route will stop at the park and ride in the afternoons, and there's a shuttle that'll run through Leavenworth. And it's an effort to sort of help with the tourist market in Leavenworth, but what it really does is it keeps our commuter service on time so that people who depend on it to get to and from work can actually depend on it, because it's been really difficult to keep it reliable with the festival traffic we've seen in Leavenworth. And so this park and ride should help a lot on that effort, plus provide 90 more spaces for riders on the system to commute. We also have a shuttle starting up in Chelan. We'll be doing a seasonal shuttle up there that will connect Don Morse Park to Lakeside Park as well as downtown. That'll be on a half-hour route. Both of those shuttles in Leavenworth and Chelan are free. We're really trying to encourage people to take advantage of them moving through the congested times, and then if they want to access the regular buses, then they'll have to pay fare for those pieces. But the shuttles that gets them to the buses will be free in both of those communities.
And it connects, I'd imagine, some of the tourist areas with the business areas, too. Like you know, Leavenworth, it's all tourists, but, I mean, like, you're right. Those festival weekends, Christmas, you know, and Oktoberfest and all of those things, it's insane to try to get into Leavenworth. And to have that extra option, I'd imagine, would be super helpful.
Well, I think if we're able to, if the voters choose to pass the sales tax, we'll be able to add Sunday service to Leavenworth. And we have almost 500 parking spaces between Wenatchee and Leavenworth that we operate in park and rides in that corridor, and they're not really utilized on the weekends because we don't have service. And so a good third of the people going to Leavenworth are coming out of our area. So we want to provide options so you don't have to put yourself into that traffic and make that a better option that's up there in the shuttle and the...
Everything else going over okay at Link Transit? Everything else going
over? Things are doing pretty well right now. Ridership's up about 1%, so that's turning around from... You know, when gas prices are really low, our ridership dipped a little bit, but we've seen a real positive growth. And there's been a lot of positive feedback on what we're doing out there. So I think people are reasonably happy with the system we have. And like I said, we're asking the question about the future.
All right. Richard, thanks so much for your time today. And we'll reach out to you particularly after August
6th.
August 6th, yes. So we'll be talking to you about whatever the results may be.
So there you go, visiting the conversations recently on the Proposition 1 tax increase that would fund improvements for Link Transit, and also a renewal of the Rivercom 911 sales tax. August 6th, about a week away, 1 week from tonight, we'll have election results for you. And, of course, we'll be seeing how the public feels about funding those measures. News Radio 560 KPQ. Tomorrow on the agenda, we will be talking with East Wenatchee Assistant Police Chief Ray Coble and also Tyler Kale, Undersheriff in Douglas County, about National Night Out, which is just about a week away. Big event which brings together law enforcement from throughout our community, and a great interactive event for the community. It's going to be over at Eastmont Community Park in East Wenatchee next Tuesday night. And we'll also talk about the ribbon cutting ceremony for the new picnic shelter at Rotary Park in Wenatchee with Dave Erickson, Parks Director. We'll also get a little update on the Hale Skating Park. That's tomorrow on the agenda.